Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. We're visiting with our friend Don Lambro, who is the chief political reporter at the Washington Times. He's also a syndicated columnist. Many of you will see his article in your local newspapers around the country every week. He's our good friend Don Lambro. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
It's good to have you back.
Appreciate being asked.
As always. Don, one of the things I wanted you to do for us today is talk about the politics of the bipartisan or the non-bipartisan, perhaps we should say, politics, the both sides of the aisle politics of the president's tax proposal that's literally, I guess it was passed by, the final version was approved by the House last night, is that right?
I believe it was to be approved sometime overnight, middle of the night, so I believe they have approved it.
So it's kind of gotten through. Does that mean it's through the conferences now?
Well, it was yesterday. It was approved by the conferees after Bush cut the knot and told them to go ahead with the $350 billion package. So now it goes to the Senate. The Senate will pass it today, and Bush intends to sign it on or before Memorial Day.
Right. I suspect he'll do it on Memorial Day, and that'll add a little flourish to the day. But has this happened? And we'll talk in a minute about the amounts that were proposed at each level and what we wound up with. But is this something that's happened faster than you thought it was going to happen, or than most people thought it was going to happen?
Well, from the beginning of this year, interviews with Treasury Secretary Snow and others in the White House, they all were pushing to get action on this by the end of the spring, by the end of May. But, you know, the rest of the news media thought it would take longer. But I always thought, and the administration wanted much faster action on this because time is of the essence here. The clock is ticking. The election clock is ticking. And the weeks go by. You want to have this kicked in sooner rather than later. The economy is still soft, and they want some propulsion. They want it now to get things going. So by the as we get deeper into this year, Americans will see some movement in terms of economic growth, business growth, expansion, and jobs. Mm-hmm. So I always thought it would move faster rather than slower, and it has. And Bush has a lot to do with that, obviously. Bush has everything to do with that.
Right. His willingness to accept the new number, which brings us to the numbers. He proposed $726 billion over 10 years, I think it is, and the House came in at $550. The Senate came in at $350, thanks to Voinovich, Snow, and Leaping Lincoln Chafee. And they came in at $350. The Senate, the Democrats came in, I've forgotten what their level was, but it was another kind of a program. But basically, you know, somebody who I know knows Olympia Snow, Senator Snow from Maine. And that lady told me that she knew Senator Snow and that she knew her to be pretty tough-nosed, pretty hard-nosed when it comes to getting what she wants. Once she sets her mind to something, she pretty much, you know, doesn't change from that, and so as late as last week, Don, two or three of my experts were saying they thought that the bill was going to wind up being more like $450 billion, but it sounds to me like Voinovich and Snow won.
Well, they did, and of course Grassley's extraordinary agreement with them. On the basis of that, he knew he was not going to. He did not have the votes for more than $350. I think with offsets, it was going to get close to $400 billion. Mm-hmm. But actually, this number, you know, we focus on it a lot. We did in 2001. It was 1.1 $1 trillion over 10 years. Mm-hmm. But it turns out there are many estimates that say that bill was really $1.7 trillion. So I think we tend to focus here in Washington on the game and the fight and the number. And I think the 350 is a very soft estimate. It's very hard to estimate these things with capital gains, mm-hmm. And with the reductions in the dividends. This is a moving target, to say the least.
Right.
But on the politics of it, if I can talk a little bit about that, and the Democrats here may be, by opposing this, walking into a trap of their own making. And I've written about this some weeks ago, and I see some of the other papers in the last week or so have picked up on this story. And that is, as soon as this becomes law, the withholding rates, the income tax withholding rates in paychecks all across the income scale are going to fall to adjust to the various new rates that mm-hmm. Are going to be implemented this year. And that means those rates will also be down, of course, next year. Now, virtually all the Democratic presidential candidates are calling for either repealing the entire tax cuts, as Gephardt is and Dean and the others, mm-hmm. or rolling back most of it. And that means what they're going to be calling for this year and next year, and their nominee probably will be a tax increase on the American people. There is no getting around that. If you're going to roll back or repeal the rates, that means the lower withholding rates have to be increased.
That's a de facto increase.
To reflect the new higher rate, to go back to the old rate, higher rate. And, well, Walter Mondale did that, and he won one state against 49 states with Ronald Reagan, barely. So that is really the big political ambush here and trap that the Democrats of their own making may be walking into. And it's very hard to finesse that. I asked a top aide to Senator Ted Kennedy, who, among with the other Democratic liberals, very much opposed to these, and he said, I said, how can the Democrats deal with that? And he said, it's going to be a problem for us. It's going to be a big problem for us. He said, but I don't have the answer to that, and I don't think the Democrats do either. If that's the scenario, then I think Bush is going to win handily next year, because the American people don't want to see their paychecks shrink.
Well, especially,
that's what
especially
will happen under the Democrats.
Especially once they get them, they get the tax reduction, and then they start, you know, as you say, would essentially be a tax increase. But a couple of the things that are going to happen is, in addition to the marginal rate being lowered, there's going to be an additional credit for child care. They're going to get some money back for that. Married people are going to get a little bit of a benefit, and we'll talk about a couple of the other points right after these messages as we continue to talk politics with our political expert, Don Lambro. Stay with us, 20 after. Back, it's 23 after. Don Lambro is our guest and our good friend. He's one of our top political experts in our brain trust. He's chief political reporter for the Washington Times and a syndicated columnist. And Don, your article is syndicated in several dozen newspapers around the country, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
A lot of people can, if they don't have in their local area, they can read the Conservative Chronicle. And of course, it is carried in our national edition of the Washington Times every week.
Uh-huh.
So if you subscribe to the Washington Times National Edition, you get my column and a lot of other columnists.
What about online? Where can we find it online?
And you can find it online by going to the Washington Times website. And just revised and jazzed up even more.
That's WashingtonTimes.com?
That's right.
All right.
So
check that out when you get a chance. What's the article on this week?
Let's see. This week's article was...
I know what you mean. I was
having a senior moment here.
I know what you mean. Think about it. But I wonder.
I was going to say I did one on.
Well, what people may not realize is I know what you mean, because I'm for my own column that I submit to newspapers. The column that I just wrote is not the one that's coming out this week.
That's right.
and so you get two or three behind. But let's talk about the. I want to talk some more about the politics of all this. Now, what we have to remember, folks, is that the people who obstructed the president's tax plan from being perhaps as much as $550 billion were Republicans. Now, what's up with that, Don? I mean, Voinovich, Snow, and Chafee are all three Republicans.
Right,
and they're
well,
the ones who demanded that it not be more than $350,000, and caused Grassley to have to do the negotiating.
Yes, these are the remnants of the Herbert Hoover Republicans.
They used to call them the Roosevelt. I mean
the Roosevelt too, because FDR came in saying he wasn't going to tax the American people then, but in the end he.
Rockefeller. I'm sorry. Some people call them the Rockefeller Republicans.
Well,
I've heard that
yes.
before too.
Well, I think Nelson might have been for a growth package like
right.
this, but certainly the Herbert Hoover Republicans who believe the world and our economy revolves around the deficit, that the deficit affects everything, and that's the way to get growth in the country, by reducing or eliminating the deficit. And, of course, mm-hmm. We've had growth, spectacular growth with high deficits, and we've had mm-hmm. No growth with no deficits.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no relationship to that, and no relationship to interest rates, by the way, at all, if you go back over that. But Olympia Snow and George Voinovich, particularly those two Republican senators, they're focused totally on the deficit. They are not people who believe in tax cuts. Voinovich, as governor, was opposed to the raise taxes in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So they are problematic, and they've had to scurry the White House to find Democrats to offset that. Evan Bayh, on the bill that passed the Senate initially, voted for it. So a Democrat from Indiana,
mm-hmm.
who's the chairman of the Democratic Leadership Council, so mm-hmm. a leader there in his party.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Zell Miller, who backed the president's 2001 tax cuts.
From Georgia.
Democrat of Georgia. So you're going to have those people, and of course, Olympia Snow departs sharply from her colleague in the Senate, Susan Collins, who is a big supporter of the president's plan. And it's ironic because Maine has always been a state with a weak economy, a paper industry that's flat on its back. And if you talk to the business people in that state, the one thing they need more than anything else is more capital.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't talk about that. She keeps talking about the deficit. But in Maine, to create jobs as in anywhere else in the country, you need capital. And, of course,
right.
the dividends tax cut will spur capital, will spur investment. And that's what her state needs more than anything else. So she really is voting against the interest of her state and of her state's economy.
Well, I've got a column coming out in next week that will be talking about this. It's going to be in a number of different places. And it talks about in the article, I talk about how this tax proposal, especially the president's proposal of direct expensing increasing from $25,000 now to $100,000. It looks like the new proposal is going to be $100,000 and not $75,000 as it originally started out. By being able to direct expense capital items, that puts capital back into small businesses, including Maine small businesses, and which sorely needs that capital, because we have very limited access to capital, and the most
right.
the most capital, the biggest source of capital for us is money we have to borrow, which hurts our cash flow when we have to pay it back. And so anything that we can put back into our company in the form of working capital that we don't have to pay back, like a tax rebate, is good for the economy. It helps us it gives us more working capital. We can hire more people. We can buy more goods, and that's going to be good for the economy.
Absolutely. And these, at the heart of that, of course, is the tax income tax withholding, income tax rates reductions, the marginal tax rates. The Democrats charging that these will affect primarily people who are wealthy, but as small business people know better than anyone else, that is not true. Many or most small businesses pay their taxes through the income,
that's right.
individual income tax
mm-hmm.
forms, the 1040s. They are not incorporated. They're not Chapter S.
Or if they are, they are Chapter S, and they still pay them through the personal
that's
tax.
That's true, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are people who, let's say they're making, the company, small business, makes $100,000. That may sound like a lot to a lot of people, but most of that money, as they know, small businesses plow it back into their business. These are not
almost,
rich people. They're
almost
employers.
Almost every penny. Don, that's going to have to be the last word. Thank you for the day today. Good job.
Jim, thank you.
Don Lambrow, ladies and gentlemen, with the Washington Times. He'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.